Bill, your hand better go up, right? I mean, yeah, yeah. Prayer is everything, isn't it? Well, as we begin the message, I want to say that I hate the word Easter. I might as well just say it right up front. I hate the word Easter. And you know why? Because Easter is a secular word that was given to this day. And it's not about Easter bunnies. Not that there's anything wrong with Easter bunnies, Sandy, right? Or Easter eggs, or anything like jelly beans. I love jelly beans, right? Nothing wrong with all that. But the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ gets lost in all the secularism of this day. And I want to remind us that it's all about this right here. It's all about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We need to say amen, right? And so I'm going to say, instead of Happy Easter, I'm going to say Happy Resurrection Day. And I hope that you will too, as we leave and greet each other. Happy Resurrection Day, because that's what it's all about. It's not about bunnies and all the rest. It's about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's my mini sermon for the day. And when we think about the resurrection, the resurrection changes everything. Let me say that again. The resurrection changes everything. We were listening to the radio this morning, and Billy Graham was on. You all know who Billy Graham is, right? Yeah. Probably one of the greatest preachers in our lifetime, for sure. And we talk a lot about Jesus here every Sunday. And you hear me talk about the cross. You hear me talk about Jesus' death and how he paid for our sin. And it's only through Jesus Christ that our sin is forgiven. And we talk a lot about that because that's what it's all about, right? The death that Jesus died to pay for your sin, to pay for my sin. And it's because of Jesus Christ that we can be forgiven and set free from our sin. But I want you to listen to this, and this is what Billy Graham said this morning. If it weren't for the resurrection, then the cross would be in vain. It's all about the resurrection. The resurrection makes the cross real, makes the cross alive. And I don't know about you, but you ought to get excited when you think about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is what sets Christianity apart from any other religion on the face of the earth. It's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve a living Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Don't just set the right. Come on, get excited, right? We serve a living Savior. Amen. Think about that. No other religion on the face of the earth can say that, but we can. We serve a living Savior. He rose from the dead, and he lives, and he sits at the right hand of God himself. Wow. What a message we have. Think about that. Is there any greater message? Linda, is there any greater message than that?
No, I don't think there can be.
There can't be, right. Exactly. No way. And so the resurrection changes everything. And by the way, I heard, you know, there's more babies in our congregation today, I think, than there's ever been. And I love that. Do you love that?
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that just makes the resurrection even more wonderful, right? When we hear this from the babies and all. I love it. Bring it on. I guess you're going to do something about that too, right? Marissa's pregnant with one. And boy, I love this. I love babies and love to hear babies. You can interrupt me anytime you want, the little one there, okay? Well, we just love it. The resurrection changes everything. Now, The greatest curse of all mankind is death and dying. Right? There's no greater curse on the face of the earth than death and dying. And many of us have been put in situations where we are faced with death and dying. And oh, by the way, we are all going to die, are we not? Yeah. And as we get older, and many of us know this, our health starts to fail, and we start thinking more and more seriously about death and dying. And it's kind of scary in one sense, because we don't know much beyond this life. This is the only thing we know. And so what do when we're faced with death and we're faced with dying? We do everything we can to live just a little bit longer, right? And we need to, you know, battle the cancers and battle the heart attacks and battle whatever it is, because that's all a result of the curse of sin. We need to battle that for sure. But the good news is the resurrection changes everything. And the resurrection of Jesus destroys, not just, you know, does away with, but it completely destroys death and gives life to all that is cursed, even our creation. And you know the creation is cursed as well. As it says there in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 23. And when we were out at the sunrise service this morning, Bill said, well, it looks kind of, shabby or something like that, because everything was kind of brown, right, and he hasn't got to trim up yet and so forth. But spring is here. And soon, what's going to happen around the pond there, right? Flowers are going to come up, right? The grass turns green. Everything comes to life, see? And that is just a glimpse of what it's going to be like when we face the finality of our death here on earth. But if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, death doesn't have to be final. In the Good Friday service, we viewed a couple clips, video clips, and one of them said, goodbye to death. Goodbye to death, because we have nothing to fear if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, when I think about when God is calling me home, the only thing that I'm worried about more than anything is I don't want to suffer. I'm a chicken, right? And none of us want to suffer. And so, you know, when I think about death, I'm there, Lord, make it a quick one, will you? That's pretty selfish of me, isn't it? But when you think about death, it's only a beginning. It's only a beginning. James says that life here on earth is a vapor. Now, what do you know about a vapor? When you put a tea kettle on, I don't know, do we do that anymore? My mother used to have one of these big tea kettles, and it would sit on the stove, and she would have it boil for her tea. And how she knew it was ready was there would be this vapor coming out of this. You know, Jan, you know that, right? Yeah. Steam, yeah. And James says that's what our life here on earth is like. It's like a vapor. And then when you take it off the stove and pour it in the cup, it'll steam for a little, but then it's gone. And it doesn't take very long for hot water to quit steaming. And our life is like that. It's very, very temporary. And yet we live our life like this is the only life that we have. But the good news about today is, no, death doesn't have to be final. And the real life is about eternity. And that's what's wonderful about this day. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15 that you just heard me read, one man came death, and that was Adam. And by a man comes resurrection from the dead, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. For in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, here it is. In him, Adam, we all die. And you all are going to die. I'm going to die. We're all going to die. But here's the good news. In him, Christ, we all will live. Now, some of you might be scratching your head and say, okay, well, what about those who aren't in Christ? What are they going to do? Well, they're going to live, as the scripture says here. In him, Christ, we all will live. And we all will live. Now, here's the question. So where are we going to live? If we all are going to live, then where are we going to live? We're going to live in one of two places. And you don't hear hell talked a lot about these days. But hell is a very real place, just like heaven is a real place. Heaven is mentioned 622 times in the NIV Bible. Heaven's mentioned a lot. But so also is hell. Hell is just as real as heaven is. And heaven is mentioned 162 times in the New Testament alone. And 70 times Jesus himself talks about hell. And it's a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there's a lot of different names for hell. If you look in your Bible, right, you say, well, I don't see hell per se. Well, there is hell mentioned, but there's different names. Hades, lake of fire, place of everlasting torment. Right? Do you want to spend, is that how you want to live? Why is there so much silence?
Definitely not.
Huh?
Definitely not.
Definitely not. Who wants to live in eternal fire, eternal torment, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? We all will live, but here's the question. Where are you going to live? Where are you going to live? Okay? Now, in the scripture I read this morning, each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who, quote unquote, belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father. Now, how do you know you belong to Christ? How do you know? Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this. If we confess, and how do we confess? We confess with our mouth, right? With our heart, with our mouth, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, the resurrection, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. And that word justified means that we're not perfect, but it means that God declares us righteous. Do you realize only perfect people are going to heaven? So how many are going?
Zero.
Zero, if that were the case, right? But because of the perfect life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because Jesus was God incarnate, God in the flesh, and lived life perfectly, sinless, and he died for us. And it's so then we say, okay, God, you gave us Jesus Christ. He paid for my sin. He paid for your sin. And so I want to invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life. And it's more than just words. It's more than just words. It's about living a life that reflects that we have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's not just about words. It begins with that, but it's living a life from our heart, deep within us, I once had a lawyer friend of mine who wasn't a Christian, and he counseled with me for, I don't know, quite a number of years. And then the church was not very good to me. I'll just say that much. And he felt really bad for me. And he said to me, he said, "Al, the church hasn't been very good to you." He said, "Why don't you just, you know, forget about this whole faith thing and, you know, live a life that you want to live and be happy and so forth." And I said to him, I said, "You don't understand something, Bruce." And it wasn't Bruce, this Bruce. But he said, I said, "You don't understand something." And I said, "It's like living in the country." And all of us can relate to that because we live in the country here, don't we? And I love it, right? And I said, "You know, there's a saying that says, you can take the boy from the country, but you can't take the country from the boy." Right? And he said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, I could not turn my back on my faith. But you don't understand. It's who I am. It's who I am. I can't do that, no matter what the church says, or no matter what I'm treated or how I'm treated. I can't turn my back on my faith. It's who I am. And that's what it means to have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. It's who you are. It's not defined by what you do and the works, right? And most of you that I know, if not all of you, I think I can say all of you, you're good people. You're good people. And if we got to heaven by being good, y'all would make it. Based on what I know, you're all good people. But that's not how we get to heaven. We get to heaven by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's how we get to heaven. See? Now, Good Friday's message was kind of short, wasn't it? I told you it was going to be. It was only like a half hour. The sunrise service was short. It was only, what, 20, 25 minutes, something like that. So I'm not going to be any more long-winded this morning. I'm just going to say this. I would challenge you and ask you, as we bow our heads, let's all bow our heads right now and come before God and say, "You know, God, I've heard the message. I know what verses were read this morning. And I want to live in heaven. I don't want to live in hell. And there's never been a time where I've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life, but I want to do that this morning. I want to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life." Is there anybody here that would say, "Yeah, I've never prayed that prayer, but I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ"? Is anybody here that would say, "Yeah, that's me. I want to pray that prayer, and I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ"? Anybody? Just slip up your hand if that's you, because I want to pray for you, and I want to talk with you if that's the case. And if you prayed that prayer, then my prayer is that we will go out of this building this morning with the resurrection on our heart and the message to those that are beyond these doors. And let's share Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that many of us have prayed that prayer for you to come into our lives and to save us, for we can't save ourselves. And we pray, Lord, that we might go out of these doors this morning with you in our hearts, you on our lips, and that we might share the exciting news that Jesus Christ is alive and well, and that we serve a living Savior. And there's nothing more important on the face of the earth than where we stand with Jesus. And we thank you for the promise of heaven and eternity in heaven because of the Lord Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.